6 of 50. So we know that currently there are 10 airports in the Middle East and Africa where flights originating from these airports into the U.S. they're not allowed to have anything larger than a cell phone in the cabin, things like laptops. Well, now DHS says that they may expand this to more flights. We're talking about something that could affect something over 500,000 passengers a day, with 4,300 international flights taking off and landing in the U.S. every day. Kevin Malott with us, international security expert at Erase.com. Kevin, thanks for joining us on WILS.
You bet.
What's the deal with the laptops? What is so potentially dangerous about having them on our planes?
Well, I think it's important to remember that the bad guys are always developing new technology and new methodologies to wreak havoc upon our civilization. And I think if you go back, you're going to find out that this ties into some intelligence that was picked up overseas. And I can't give any specifics on it, but I would suggest it probably deals with either a type of explosive or type or way of concealing an explosive inside of a laptop-sized device.
Okay. Because they scan our laptops, right? So it's like you're saying this is something that we'd scan and we still wouldn't be able to see?
Yeah, it must be something of that nature, Mike, because obviously they nailed it right on the 10 airports that come from where all the bad guys are doing their research and development work. So it's got to be something that they came up with, some manner or methodology to prevent us from detecting it, whether it's because we can't smell the organic vapors of the explosive or we can't see the electronics of the detonator. Mm-hmm. But there's something there. Now, keep this in mind. They successfully brought down a Russian airliner coming out of the Sinai Peninsula, and they've had other success in other aircraft in the last year or so that Americans don't lock on. You know, Americans are very limited on what exposure they get. Mm-hmm. You know, there were over 1,800 terrorist attacks last year, killing over almost 16,000 people, like 15,900 some people, and that's not counting the combat zones.
In your view, I mean, because right now, right, we can't bring liquids on. I'm still never sure. I mean, they make me throw away my Aquafina, and I'm always wondering to myself, really, is this keeping us safe?
That's because there's explosives that are two components that are liquids. You mix them together, and it turns into an explosive material.
Okay.
And we've had that for years. So if I carry one bottle and you carry another, and then halfway in flight, you know, I go to the men's restroom where you threw yours in the garbage. I pull it out, mix them together, and I've got an explosive.
Kevin, do you think it's just a matter of time before we simply won't be able to carry laptops on any flights?
Well, it sure looks like it's heading that way. And here's the problem. If we can't get the guys that figured out how to make this new device or the additional danger to that technology, the only way to assure the flying passengers are not going to be victimized is not let them have a device on board.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that an explosive, like most of them, other than some of the contact explosives, most of them require power with a detonator. So anything that's got power to it can be wired into a push button or some kind of trigger and make it a detonator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got all that in a laptop or a tablet. Now, the thing about a cell phone, you know, you have that capability with a cell phone, too, but if it's small enough and it can't hold enough of the explosive material, it'd be less dangerous. Still could be dangerous, but less dangerous.
I mean, it sounds like it won't be long before we won't be able to use our phones. I mean, at some point, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to make those dangerous, too.
And they have. It's just the magnitude of it is not as big as, let's say, disable an airliner in flight. But we really have to stop and just kind of put the brakes on this for a second. Not that long ago, it took you months by steamer to go around the world, okay? And today, people fly around the world in 20 hours for under $1,000. Now, with that comes the hazards of all of the world. So the public has to kind of get a grip on this. Do you want to fly around the world in 15 hours and get there safely, or do you want to roll the dice?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you want to go by ship, a laptop won't sink a ship in most cases.
Okay, fair enough. But why haven't we seen, I mean, have we actually seen a plane taken down by a laptop?
Well, we saw the one that went down in the Sinai Peninsula, and the Russians aren't saying too much about what happened. But based on its proximity, what happened, I think they're probably going to find out there was a device taken on board. And you got to remember that we already had guys try it with a shoe, with the explosives in a shoe. And we had a guy that actually had a device in his underwear. So we know that they've already tried to do this. That we know that they've been on planes before and have brought explosives on. The problem is something that is more explosively violent and associated with a power pack and a detonator. And all of that you can build into a laptop. So
it just needs to be powerful enough to, what, puncture a side of the plane? Is that it?
You put a hole in the side of the plane at 35,000 feet, and it's over. Yeah. And keep in mind, we've lost four planes that we don't know whatever happened to them. You know, remember the Malaysian flight that turned left coming out of Malaysia and no one ever found it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a couple more of those. So my point is, if the public's not going to complain if three of them go down because guys have laptop bombs, then I guess you could take laptops on board. But you and I both know that's not going to be acceptable.
Right. I mean, we're talking about not even the cabin. You won't be able to bring it on even on the stowaway luggage, right?
I think they had something that you could put it in checked luggage, but I'm not sure what they were going to do, if they're going to put it through more of a security check or what. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you what they're thinking about right now, but I know it's under review.
Yeah. Kevin Mallott with us, international security. Kevin Mallott, international security expert, I should say. I want to get your thoughts, too. We have 4 minutes or so about this missile defense system that was deployed today in South Korea. It apparently worked. Is this a big deal? Does this somehow protect things from North Korea?
Well, it kind of is let's put it this way. If we can do an intercept at high altitude where the ICBMs fly, and that's what it was a test over the Pacific Ocean to try to hit a high-flying, an ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile, flies at real high altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get up to the edge of the atmosphere and still take something down, then maybe that would dissuade, would dissuade the leaders in North Korea from thinking this would even have any kind of chance of working to knock it off, you know, stop.
But I mean, is this really just something where in reality it wouldn't necessarily work 100%?
Well, that's a good question. That's the first part. Remember, the original Star Wars project that Ronald Reagan was trying to get was to be a laser-based in-space satellite defense system that would shoot down any ICBM flying through space on the outside of the atmosphere, which is where they go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we put that aside. So this would be a land-launched or a ship-launched type system. And I guess the question would be, is it going to be accurate 100%? My answer to that would be fire several interceptors.
No, is this kind of what Israel has when the Hamas fires those rockets in and they blast them out of the sky? Is it a similar system?
A little different system, but that also is hitting low altitude stuff, which is pretty, you can pretty much figure its trajectory out pretty easily because it's got a short distance to fly and it's at low altitude.
Mm-hmm.
When they get up into the outside of the atmosphere and you're flying in the edge of space, it's kind of a lot more complicated, let's put it that way, to figure out exactly where it's going to be at what point in time.
Mm.
But fact is, in my thinking is, if we have an interceptor that works, and if anything gets launched into that level of altitude out of North Korea, I would fire several of the interceptors at it.
To try to take it out. Well, it seems like the North Koreans don't really know where the missiles are going themselves half the time, you know?
That's right. Well, that's another interesting point. Their guidance system is not exactly, a top-line guidance system. So you don't even know if it's going to actually fly in the direction where they're trying to put it.
Uh-huh.
But my theory of thought on that is anything that comes out of that country gets dropped immediately.
Yeah, just shoot it down, whatever. As long as it's not a plane of some kind.
Yep, right.
Yeah, Kevin Mallott, international security. Kevin Mallott, find him at erase.com. Hey, Kevin, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah,
take care.
Very insightful.